الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وعن معقل بن يسار رضي الله عنه قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم العبادة في الهرج كحجرة إلي أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم استاذ علماء كرام استاذ student طلباء brothers and elders Alhamdulillah before me Alhamdulillah very beautiful advices were given by the students ulama regarding istiqamat the importance of istiqamat and as mentioned if you really want to see istiqamat read about istiqamat then look at the life of the sahaba radiyallahu anhum if you look in fazal amal in hayat sahaba that in the face of adversity how they persevered the unflinching attitude of theirs unwavering resoluteness of theirs so these are lessons for us that is why ulama explain that make ta'aleem of these kitabs and this will inshallah rub upon us as well and we take himmat we take inspiration from these waqias and there is always noor in these kitabs as the Shaykh al-Hadith has written this kitab there is a lot of noor in this kitab Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Kandilvi in Hayat al-Sahaba as well so Allah grant us the tawfiq inshallah to read these kitabs inshallah regarding istiqamah there are many examples can be given Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh when he was the imam of that time and at that time also he was the under the Umayyads and they were known for the corruption and also evil they had evil influences upon the people regarding aqaid their beliefs many of them belong to the Mu'tazila so Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh there was a person who was Marwan he offered him the post of qadi al-qudat so Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh did not like position so he declined and he was for this he was imprisoned and he was left for the sake of deen and then he made hijrat to Makkah al-Mukarramah to Hijaz and after the Umayyads the Abbasids came into power so they all thought that now could be the good leaders that will come into place but unfortunately this does not turn out to be so when he came back to Baghdad so at that time Jafar Mansur was the Khalifa and he had some disagreement with his wife so the wife insisted that let Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi preside over this and let him make judgment so he came Imam Abu Hanifa came and behind the curtain the wife and husband were there so Jafar Mansur spoke and said what does the Quran say regarding marriage for two more than one wife unfortunately even awam know this ayat masna wa salata wa ruba that uridu kirasu with the proper tajweed because why as Mawlana mentioned your nafs 2, 3, 4 and men normally they trouble their wives our Shaykh al-Adami sahab told us never taunt your wife don't tell him about the second third one back in the days we had this in the cars we had a cassette so one day the cassette was playing of Bayana Mazharat Mawlana al-Hamid sahab so in day that thing came don't taunt your wives regarding the second wives and third wives so my wife she put rewind there I said listen to what he's saying so Allah grant us istiqamah there too inshallah so nevertheless Imam Abu Hanifa said yes Islam has permitted 2, 3, up to 4 wives so the husband was very happy and he said see what Imam sahab is saying but Imam sahab they have to continue he said but it's a shart فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَنْ لَا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا if you cannot maintain justice and equality then one will be sufficient So he became very, very angry. So Imam Saab went away. And then when he went away, he found was on Khadim, the wife had sent a bag of gold coins and a letter stating her appreciation. So Imam Saab said, take this back. And what I mentioned to was is to establish the haq. I did not do it for any favor or out of fear for anyone. It was only done for the haq. So take it back. Imam Saab rahmatullahi alayhi was a pillar of steadfastness in the sense that when Mabu Mansur asked him for the second and third time, so Imam Saab asked him that I put you into a situation, a scenario, that if there is a complaint against you and you are in the wrong and you request me to come to pass judgment in your favor and you give me a choice, that either you pass judgment in my favor or I will throw you into the river. So Imam Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi said, I would rather choose the second, I would rather go into the river and drown rather than tampering with the Sharia and the justice of Islam. In the same Imam Sahib, Abu Mansur, on another occasion, he told him that you should become the Qadi al-Qudat. So he said, I'm not fit to be Qadi. Imam Sahib said, I'm not fit to be the Qadi. So he said, you're a liar. So Imam Sahib said, now that you have said it, and you have held up this contention, I'm a liar, and a liar is not fit to become a Qadi, and I agree with you. So he said, I take a qasam on Allah, I take an oath, you should become the Qadi. Imam Sahib said, I take a qasam on Allah, I will never become the Qadi. And for this, he was flogged. And respected brothers, what? Look at his istiqamah. He was in prison. And the Mansur at that time had told the cooks who were cooking the food for Imam Saab to add some poison. And unfortunately, this led to the death of Imam Saab. When Imam Saab could see the effects of the poison taking place, he went into sajda, and alhamdulillah, in that condition, his ruh came out in the halat of Iman. Now, respected brothers, so many people attended his janaza. It is mentioned 50,000 people performed his salatul janaza. And so many other people came that his janaza salah had to repeat it 6 more times. So this was the istiqamah of Imam Saab. Then we look at Imam Malik. Imam, he made hijrat, Darul Hijrah, Madinatul Munawwara. Imam Malik rahmatullahi at that time also was under the Abbasid Khalifa Mansur, the same person. And he was, as I mentioned, inclined to the Mutazila. So under duress, they used to tell the people that they pledge allegiance to us. Under duress, under coercion, compel them to pledge allegiance to the governor. So Imam Malik rahmatullahi made istihad on this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Laysa ala mustakrihin talaqun, that they, and the one that is jurist, under jurist and coerced to issue talaq, the talaq will not fall. So based on this, that your governorship, your rulership is null and void. So they became very, very upset. So what they done, they shaved the head of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, and they made him sit on a camel to degrade him, to disgrace him, and to parade him in the marketplace. So Imam Malik, on top of his voice, he said, you all are aware who I am. And those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Malik bin Anas rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Malik. And I say unequivocally, without any fear, that laysa ala mustaqrin talaqun, that the one that is coerced, because they wanted him to retract, not to mention the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because whenever he mentioned this, the support, or he started gaining momentum and support, and people started leaving their allegiance towards the governor. So in this way, they let him go, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him more respect. He was more accepted in the eyes of the people. So here again, Imam Malik, he remained steadfast on the truth. In the state, when he came to adversities and threats, he remained on the haq. Then we come to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi
He had faced a person by a name by Marwan or Mutasim Billah. And he also was a part of the Mutazila. And they had this belief that the Quran is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, if anyone had to go against their ruling, unfortunately many ulama gave in to save their lives, so to save themselves from persecution, they agreed with the authorities. But when they asked Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, and he mentioned Al-Quran kalamullah ghayru makhluqi. He said that the Quran is a divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is not the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they became extremely angry and they threatened him. And he started flogging. And then when they left him the first time, he said, Bismillah. They left him the second time, he said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The third time, Kullay yusibana illa ma kataballahu lana. And then the fourth time, he said, Al-Quran kalamullah ghayru makhluqin. So much of difficulties they underwent. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi at that moment, while he was being flogged, the cord or the elastic of his trousers was about to slip. It will mean men that now his trousers will fall down and expose his private part. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi at that time, he looked up into the sky and he mentioned some words, and Allah as a karamat caused the pants to come up and remain like that. So one person who observed this came to Imam Sahib and said that I observed you doing looking up to the sky and you mentioned some words. What did you say? So he said that I turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that moment. And he said, oh Allah, I ask you in the name of your blessed name which fills the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I am on haqq, then oh Allah, you assist me. Immediately at that very moment, Allah caused his hands to come up and remain in his place. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, respected brothers, when Imam Shafi's ustad came to know about what had happened, he asked that the very clothes that he wore whilst he was being left, bring it to me. It was brought. Imam Shafi washed that clothes, and that water that remained from there, he drank it as tabarruk. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, when he had passed away, 20,000 people accepted Islam. And after he had passed away, it is mentioned, about 230 years, they were burying a very pious person, and it so happened, they were buried right to next to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, and the qabr got exposed. And the people that were involved in burying Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, they saw that his body, his coffin did not decompose, was intact. As though it was just buried the same day. One person by the name of Muhammad bin Kindi, he said, I saw Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi in a dream. And I asked him, how did you fare before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed me and he said, oh Imam Ahmad, did you get left for my sake, for the truth? Imam Ahmad acknowledged and he said, yes. He said, if that is the case, then I give you permission to gaze at me all the time. So imagine what honor that these imams had got when they stood upon the truth. Then when they were on istiqamat, it is mentioned when he passed away, 850,000 people attended his janazah. There was another pious person by the name of Qadi Bakkar rahmatullahi. He was from Egypt, and at that time Ahmad bin Taylun, he was the governor at the time. So he had a lot of respect for Qadi Bakkar rahmatullahi. And he used to come attending his lessons of Ahadi. And every year he used to give one bag full of gold coins, 1,000 gold coins. And this continued for a period of 18 years. 18 years. So after 18 years, it so happened there was a disagreement between the two. Who? Qadi Bakkar rahmatullahi and Ahmad bin Taylun, the governor. So this person got very upset, and this person remained on the truth on sunnah, and Ahmad bin Taylun passed some very derogative remarks that you are senile, that you have lost your senses and you are confused. And added to that, he said that all that wealth I gave you, I want it back. So he was determined that this person, all that wealth I gave for the last 18 years, is already being spent. But look, this person was istighna. He did not depend on the governor. He went and he brought every bag intact which was sealed and he gave it back with 18,000 gold coins. This person was not satisfied and he imprisoned him. So many students got upset because they wanted to hear the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Mubarak hadith. So he permitted them to convey and teach hadith from a window which was staying in a certain house under imprisonment and the house arrest. And in this way, so much of istiqamah he had in teaching deen that the students benefited by listening from the window. And when he came to the day of Jumu'ah, then it is mentioned that he used to take a bath, used to wear good clothes, put itar on, and he used to walk to the entrance of the door. Then the guard used to stop him. Then he used to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, I have done what is in my capability. Oh Allah, you reward me for that." My tamanna and desire was to go for Jumu'ah. I only can do that much. It is mentioned when he passed away that the crowd that attended his janazah salah was more than the Eid crowd. We normally know Eidgah, how much of people come for Eid salah. More than that, so many people attended his janazah salah. Imam Sarakhti rahmatullahi alayhi, when he said Amar bil Maruf, ya again istiqamat, what I'm trying to imply is that when you have got position, you'll be tested. Example, ulama, those who are imams, who are in position, organizations, governments will come to you, whether to sway this way or that way, as Maulana said, which way the wind blows, you have to go in that direction. So these conditions will come, Allah save us, Allah protect us. So Imam Sarakhti rahmatullahi was a great muhaddith. And he made Amr bin Maruf wa Nahi al-Munkar. And the authorities did not like him and he imprisoned him. Where did he imprison him? In the bottom of a well. And above the well were all his students. And he used to dictate hadith from memory. And in this way, 16 volumes were combined. On one occasion, he said that I cannot hear the voice of a certain student. So one person spoke and he said that he's gone to make wudu. So the person that spoke also said that Hazrat, because he is very, very cold, I myself don't have wudu. So Imam Sarakhti rahmatullah said, don't you have any shame? Don't you have any respect for the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then he gives his account. He said, on one occasion I had a bout of diarrhea and fever. Because of that, 40 times I had to go relieve myself and 40 times I made wudu at the channel of the river. For 40 times, and it was intense cold in winter. And he said, that when I came back home, the inkpot that I had, it had frozen. So he said, he took that inkpot, and because my body was very feverish, it was very hot, I grasped it and I put it next to my body. This caused that thing to melt, and I started now writing the teachings of being an Islam. Imagine, this was his istiqamah. Imam Sarakhti rahmatullahi, he was taken Uzjan on the prison. The guard, they saw some karamat of his. He said, when he came to Salah, automatically all the fetters and the chains that were around him used to fall away automatically. He used to go and perform Salah, make wudu, perform Salah. And after Salah, he used to tell the people, the guards even mentioned that when Jamaat Salah used to take place, he was only one person. But when he used to come, then there were a group of people dressed in green. Who were these? You were the malaika. And they used to perform salah behind him. And as soon as he made salam, they used to disappear. So Imam Sarakhti rahmatullahi on one occasion, how he adhered to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before he was in prison, he came to a certain masjid. And because it was very cold, the imam made takbir and he put his hands into the sleeve, which is against the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person has to expose his hands out of the sleeve. So from the back, Imam Sarakhti rahmatullahi said, repeat your takbir. So this person repeated his takbir. And again, it happened 3 or 4 times. Till this person, he made salam, and he said, by any chance are you Imam Sarakhti rahmatullahi? So imagine how much of confidence he had that the person that is objecting. So he asked Imam Sarakhti, is anything, any deficiency in my takbir? He said, no. There is deficiency in your salah. Because you are reading the salah like a female. that your hands are concealed. Whereas it is the sunnah, and I cannot read salah behind such an imam who is not fulfilling the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine the love of the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ibrahim Devla Sahib, Dabla Barakatu, on many occasions when he comes to the old Wakajor, then he, when he comes on the topic of istiqamah, had him a couple of times mentioning that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu used to mention that ever since the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him the Tasbih-e Fatimi, 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar, when the person retires to breath, ever since I heard it, from that time to now, I never left it out. So someone asked him during the Jang-e-Sifin, Jang-e-Jamal, even at that time, he said, even at that time, I never left it out. So Hazrat Mawlana Ibrahim Devla Sahib said, so this is what we call istiqamah. To remain steadfast on our ma'mulat. On whatever we know, we put it into practice. And in this way, respected brothers, ulama, then deen will come in its entirety into our lives. We all know Malana Ahmad Sadiq Desai, Sa'adam Barakatu of Majlisul Ulama. On one occasion, before I mentioned that Hazrat Maqab bin Yasar radiallahu anhu, on one occasion he was sitting and eating food, and there were important dignities and people of status, and people were given a lot of respect because of the titles, etc. So while eating on the floor, a morsel had fallen. So it is sunnah to pick up the morsel, dust it if there is any dirt on it, and eat it, because we don't know where the blessings of Allah comes upon. So people started nudging him and telling him, don't you see where we are sitting in front of these educated people, in front of these dignities? So on top of his voice, he said, أَأَتُرْكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِ لِهَا وَلَيْ فُمَقَى. Should I forego the beloved sunnah of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with these foolish people? So Malana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib, Dar Barakatu, is mentioned, when the Russians were expelled from Afghanistan, so he was a group of ulama, about 12 ulama from Pakistan. So they were in Afghanistan. So at that time the president was, his name was Rabbani. So when he heard that there is a South African alim together with the 12 ulama from Pakistan, so he invited them for a meal in their presidential palace, which was vacated now by the Russians. So now it was taken over by the Afghanistanis, by the Taliban. So when they came there, Malana found that there were only tables there, and the tables were already set. So Malana said that, you know, excuse me, I will not be eating with you all, and I will wait in the car after you have finished eating everything, then we can continue our journey. So these ulama were upset. He said, this is the occasion to engage with Rabbani, he's the president, and he went out of his way to invite you, so don't disappoint him. So Malana Ahmad Sadiq said that he has his protocols and I have my sunnah protocols. I will sit on the floor. And then they organized, they managed to contact one person, told him that please organize a separate place, but this person unfortunately did not give in. He said, no, everyone will sit on the table. So at that time, while they were discussing, Rabbani came in. So Malana Ahmad Sadiq Sahib told one of the ulama, you go tell Rabbani, tell me what is our predicament and tell me what's my stance. So he went and he told Rabbani, imagine he's telling the president of Afghanistan, that the president came forward and he said, I apologize and I fully agree to sit on the floor in the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he made arrangements that Mawlana will sit over here, and he himself sat down and with the ulama, and he had meals and he even discussed other matters as well. So imagine at that moment, when Ahmad Sadiq Desai mentioned of another incident as well, when in 1999, when he was in prison in Bangladesh, so the authorities imprisoned him for 6 months. After 6 months he was released, but he took his passport away indefinitely, so he could not leave the country. So at that time, the Minister of Law of Bangladesh befriended him, so they were traveling and he came to a certain guest house. So Malana explained that over there as well, there were tables, and there were people from the Navy Force, from the Air Force, from the Submarine Division, all important dignities and people who were given honorable titles, etc. So Maulana came in and he sat down. He said, "Gentlemen, you can carry on sitting on the top. I will sit down." This is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then now they started looking at each other, puzzled, flabbergasted. And then the minister of law came and he sat down on Maulana. And one by one, in fact, all of them came and they sat down on the floor and they fulfilled the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person should not compromise. He shouldn't feel ashamed. Zamana ham se ham zamar se nahi hai. Ilyas rahmatullah used to say, we don't get influenced by the environment of the times around us. As Maulana even mentioned, we don't flow with the tide, we flow against the tide. We don't worry about what people will say, or what mudahanat, this compromise of deen, we will not tolerate. So we will stick steadfast to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maulana Umar ji sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, a senior alim of our country, he was based in Durban, and he qualified in Dabel, and Maulana also was instrumental here, Qasim Sema, rahmatullah alayhi, who started the Jamiat al-Ulama at that time in Natal. So he mentioned that his father, he was known as Haji Ismail. And he had ta'aluk with Maulana Ma'ashif Ali Thani, rahmatullah alayhi. So his father, Haji Ismail, the father of Maulana Umar, he said, from the age of 10, I have not missed a single salah with Jamaat. In other words, every salah from the age of 10, I've been reading with salah with Jamaat. And he said, from the time I came of age of youth, never ever did I raise my gaze to a strange woman. So imagine, the barakat of that will surely rub off onto the son. And he had his ustad, Maulana Abdul Haq Harzawi, that is why he even named his son, Maulana Abdul Haq Umarji. So he was a very person who was very staunch in the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To give you one example, during the Jummah, one of the Jummahs, he told a certain person that pick me up at 11:30 to come to the masjid. So 11:30 is quite early, you all know, normally 12:10, 12:15 is azan. So this person was given the responsibility, he came and fetched Maulana at 11:45, so 15 minutes later. And he thought to himself, it's still early, it's not a you and cry and big fuss Maulana will put up. So when he came, so Maulana asked him, Beta, what time did I tell you to come fetch me? So he explained, you told me 11:30, and I came 11:45. And he said, I thought, if I come 11:45, there's no problem, because it's still early. So Maulana said, you put me into some parishan, because for the last 55 years, I've never been late for one single Jummah. 55 years coming early for Salatul Jummah. So these were our kabirin. These are the things that we take lessons from these wuzuks. Maulana Qasim Sema rahmatullah alayhi, when he went to study, he went in the early 1900s, and it was the end of World War II, and Maulana was coming back with a ship called the Tilawa. So his ustad called him, Maulana Badr Alam, or it was Maulana Anwar Kashmir rahmatullah alayhi, one of the two. They called him, or Maulana Yusuf Binori actually, because Maulana Yusuf Binori called him and told him, see ya, now it's the World War II that is taking place. If anything has to happen to your ship, then read 313 times Durud-e Tunjina. 313 times Durud-e Tunjina. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will look after you. So he said he boarded the ship, and en route, it was torpedoed by one of the Japanese ships. And then many people lost their lives. So Maulana started reading Durud-e Tunjina. And then he comes to a certain object and he was floating, and he fell asleep. In that vision, he saw his ustad, Maulana Buzruk Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, and told him, continue reading Durud Sharif upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Maulana made a pledge to Allah, that, oh Allah, if you save me, I will dedicate my life to the service of Deen. SubhanAllah, Maulana did not reach the shores of South Africa at that time. He had to go back to India, and Allah made it such. He met Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi, he met Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori rahmatullah alayhi, Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahmatullah alayhi, all his buzruk. Imagine taking the barakat of that, now coming to South Africa. And Maulana started one of the first Darul Ulums in Newcastle. And Maulana made a lot of effort amongst the indigenous population. Look at his istiqamah. In a period of 10 years, about 900 people accepted Islam at his hands. So this was our cabin, you know, we're talking of our country. Also we'll see, you know, Malam Umarji Sahib was a person who used to mix a lot of with awam, and he was very friendly to many people. So it was one relative of mine, he's still alive, his name is Ashraf, he is mentally challenged. So Mana is always to joke with him. Even recent, when before Manaish Patel Sahib, Mandre Pastor, also he was very close to him. So this relative of mine, so one day he came for Jummah. So after the Jummah, Mana Umarji Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, asked him that, Ashraf, how was my Jummah talk? So everyone will think now, what a nice mashallah bayan, first class. So what he told Malana, because he was mazur, mentally challenged, he said, Malana, first class rubbish. First class rubbish. So Malana smiled, he said, see, Allah Ta'ala appoints certain people, he can make your Islam. So sometimes these people will make your Islam. Other people can praise you, but certain people will make your Islam, inshallah. Then, respected brothers, in our shores also, we'll find Hafiz Abdul Rahman, Miyasab Rahmatullahi. What dedication when he came to Miyasab and started his class. There are so many ulama hufaz in our country, directly, indirectly, are connected to Hafiz Sahib. Such was his dedication that even he was always punctual in class. Never ever was he late for class. If he was sick, he would call the students to his home and recite Quran at his bedside. In the month of Ramadan, closer to 60 people should have rounded his door to Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib. And he mentioned that even when his own sons were going overseas to learn the deen and become ulama, he did not even go to the airport to bid them farewell. When his own very son, the apple of his eyes, Hafiz Ma'az rahmatullahi, passed away in a tragic accident, even that day he did not miss class, and he told his other children, his other sons, that you all take care of the janazah rituals, etc. Such was the dedication. Neither engagements, family commitments, or any walimas or functions led him away from the teaching of the Quran and Kareem. Such was the determination and istiqamah. Then, respected brothers, we come to our Kabir of Dioban, Mala Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullahi. Subhanallah, if you read his biography, what sacrifice he had underwent when it came to the partition, especially of India and Pakistan. I know this is our history, our legacy, we should try and read it. And what difficulties Malana underwent. There were people of the Muslim League who done what evil things to Malana. For example, two incidents I mentioned. One person who from the Muslim League came, and some people poured alcohol on the beard of Malana Rahmatullahi. Some took out his topi, they sampled it, some burnt his topi. Malana, he remained still, and he told his satis, don't retaliate. Like Malana mentioned, that he, the people throw stones and they throw fruit. So Malana was like similar to that. So one person had the audacity to strip naked and dance in front of Malana. Malana didn't say anything. Allah made it such that when the partition of India and Pakistan had taken place and a Sikh entered his house, then this very person, the Sikh, caused all the women folk to strip naked and dance in front of him. Then he thought to himself, Kama Sudinu Sudanu, that what I done to Maulana now is done being done to me. And he made a wada that if everything comes right, I will go back to India, I will go back to Darul Diyoban and ask forgiveness personally from Maulana Rahmatullah Ali. Another incident is mentioned, two youngsters, one pulled a beard, one spat in his face, and he mentioned derogative things. So they were part of the Muslim League. So there was an Ali Maulana Azam who came to know about this, and he was very, very upset. So he summoned these two people and he asked them, is it true you have done this to this Maulana? He said, yes, we have done this to Maulana. He said, do you realize who is Maulana? Maulana taught Bukhari Sharif in the Haram Sharif of Medina for so many years. Maulana is a wali of Allah, is a Sadat, belongs to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then this person, Maulana Azam, said, if any person does such actions, then either two things will happen. Either the person will drown, or either the person will be burnt alive. And subhanAllah, there was a professor overheard this. He said that I witnessed myself, one of them drowned in one of the rivers during the partition, and the other person was burnt alive by another person. So much of disrespect. But nevertheless, one statement of Maulana that I read a couple of times, I even spoke to Mufti Ibrahim Salehi and he told me yes. So what was the statement of Maulana? You see, when he came to the partition of Pakistan, Maulana told the people, so you don't realize that this is the agenda of the British. And they have a sinister agenda. And they are using, unfortunately, the ulama. The ulama, unfortunately, innocent ulama got caught up. Good ulama, pious ulama got caught up in this. So Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah said, be careful. When these people go back, they will appoint ulama, no problem. But once Pakistan is formed, they will remove the ulama. And they will appoint people who studied in British universities, British colleges, and they will be given a position. And this is what really happened, respected brothers. The ulama, they call him Istinja Kadela. They used to mock the ulama. When they came to Pakistan, it became a secular state. And unfortunately, they told the ulama, you have to take the back seat, we will rule Pakistan. So Maulana made a statement which I read a couple of times. And he told the people, listen, if you all will go to Pakistan, then the Muslims will be destroyed. The Muslims will be destroyed. And when if you leave India, then Islam will be destroyed. So there was a difference. And if you really think about the statement, subhanAllah, it made so much of sense. Meaning that people were deceived. The formation of Pakistan, the ulama were deceived. Muhammad Ali Jinnah deceived the ulama. The British, this was, and they read the elections. They wanted this election to take place. And they wanted the formation of Pakistan, but they had sinister agendas. So at that time, respected brothers, Maulana went from town to town. Time is running out. But at that time, Maulana was going to town, giving them courage, don't leave. It was like a mini kiamat. About 10,000 people were killed. About 120,000 people had to leave their homes. But Maulana took courage. He even took his kafan routine. And he went from Bengal to Madras to Bombay to Calcutta, telling the people, take himmat. If you pass away, you pass away as a shaheed, but stand up for your deen. And alhamdulillah, a lot of people were motivated. Then he came to Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullahi. Hazrat Sheikh at that moment was in Nizamuddin together with Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullahi. And many people actually came to Nizamuddin, brought air tickets and told Maulana Yusuf, let's go to Pakistan. So Maulana Yusuf said, my cousin and my father-in-law is here, I cannot go. Whatever he does, I will do. Then they asked Hazrat Sheikh. Hazrat Sheikh said, I'm obedient to my two elders. As Maulana was saying, follow your elders. So Maulana Sheikh al-Hadith mentioned, I will follow my two elders. Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullahi and Sheikh Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahmatullahi. The next day, respective brothers, there's a whole history behind us, what had happened and how Hazrat Sheikh for 4 months, like he was a prisoner in Delhi, and how Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani helped him. Qadi Sayyid Isa Rahmatullahi went to Pakistan, and how he made his return possible again through Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani. Allah give us the tawfiq, we read this, we know our history, our legacy. Nevertheless, they had a mashwara. So imagine, so steadfast on deen. So Maulana, they had his mashwara. And then after the mashwara, Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullahi mentioned, what you get in India, you will not get over there. Meaning that if you have to desert India, what will happen to our Qabristan? What will happen to our masajid? What will happen to our Darul Ulum, our makatib? Will be deserted. So alhamdulillah, then at that moment, Sheikh al-Hadith made a decision. Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri made a decision. And Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani was very, very happy. So Allah, and then one another incident I was supposed to mention of his istiqamah. He came to a certain place in Jaharanpur, and there was the opposition who were involved in bid'at. So Maulana was outspoken. He gave a bayan. So people threatened him and told him, there you come again over here, and then you will have to carry your kafan. So Maulana, on top of his voice, he told the people, next week, at the same venue, at the same time, there will be a bayan here. And then it so happened, the next week, at the same time, at the same venue, Maulana came with a parcel. And what was in that parcel? His kafan. And Maulana spoke out. And subhanAllah, because of his ikhlas, many people changed their lives. Many people came into the silsa of Maulana Ahmad Madani Rahmatullahi and he made sincere tawbah. Shahzad Sheikh al-Hind Rahmatullahi, even he was in the forefront when he came to granting freedom to the Indians. So it so happened, a lot of Hindus joined the Muslims. Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith was very apprehensive. He didn't want any customs of the Hindus and the Muslims being influenced by the Hindus. Although the Indians were one, the Muslims and Hindus, so they became as one. So it so happened there in one particular meeting, the Muslims decided they will show solidarity. This famous word, we will support one another, we will help you all. So at that year they made a pact, and they made a pledge, this year we will not slaughter cows during the days of Qurbani. Who? The Muslims mentioned this to please the Hindus. When Maulana came to know about this, he became absolutely upset and perturbed. And then in the days of Qurbani, normally Maulana used to make Qurbani of goats. But that particular respected brothers and elders, he bought a cow. And he sacrificed that cow to show that we will stick to our tradition, to our sunnah. We will not give in to the Hindus, even though we are on one platform regarding India, the liberation of India from the British, but we will stick to our gun. Mawlana Masihullah Jalalah Abadi Rahmatullahi, he was a person also who adhered to the sunnah, to the tea. On one occasion, respected brothers, it is mentioned when he came to South Africa, he made wudu and he came out of his home, and so steadfast on his sunnah, that the those who were with him found the Mawlana, he stood for one moment and he made a U-turn. So they asked Hazrat, where are you going? He said, no, I just remember now that I forgot to make khilal. His wudu was intact, but I forgot to make khilal. So he went and he performed wudu. And after salah, he told his murid, you know, Sheikh Muinuddin Chisti has married Rahmatullahi, on one occasion, Allah Ta'ala reminded him in his dream, because he left out a mustahab. And he told, Allah Ta'ala told him, you claim to love me, but you left out his mustahab. So I didn't want to fall in that category. Such was the love and the adherence to the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahab, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, on one occasion, he saw a student that was drinking water. Normally we eat with the right hand. So this student was drinking water with his left hand. So Hazrat told him, drink with your right hand. So he said that the glass, the tumbler will get dirty because my hands are messed. So Mawlana, on top of his voice, became annoyed and he said, is the sunnah more, is that glass being messed more important than the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, don't worry about the container and the glass, it can get messed, but don't miss the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi, subhanallah, one common thing amongst the ulama at Dioban, that they were staunch amongst the maslak, was the adherence to the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The performance of salah in the masjid, the performance of salah in the first staff, the performance of salah with takbir, so many waqias, every buzruq, so many waqias are mentioned regarding the salah. So Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullahi, Shaykh Abul Hassan Ali Nabi rahmatullahi mentioned that when Mawlana used to travel on a train, Mawlana was very particular giving the azan, iqamat, and performing the salah. Whenever he used to call out the azan, iqamat, then people used to make way out of respect for Mawlana Ilyas. I read also Mawlana Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya Rahmatullahi, Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Sahab, Rukulina Rahmatullahi, when he told him he used to give azan, then he used to purposely go to the window and give azan. And then he used to say on the day of Qiyamah, more places, more trees and more rocks will testify on my behalf on the day of Qiyamah. So nevertheless, Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullahi was very particular performing salah in a train. On one occasion, Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nabi rahmatullahi mentioned that two of them came back on a journey from the train. So Mawlana asked them first question, did you perform your salah? So he said, yes, I performed my salah, but because of the overcrowding, the other sahabi did not perform his salah. So Mawlana felt very, very upset. And he said, for the last 20 years, at that time, when this work of effort of Dawud and of Tabligh started, never ever did I miss a single salah while in the train. To such an extent, I even performed my Tarawih salah on the train. Such was his dedication. Allahu Akbar. When he came to his final sickness, it is mentioned as a karamat. They should, as like the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be supported by Sahaba radiallahu anhu and brought to the masjid. Likewise, Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullahi used to be supported by two people. And then when he used to come on the Imam's musalla, then he could hardly stand. But no sooner he said takbir tahreema, automatically all the sicknesses disappeared. He performed the entire salah, sitting, standing, all the postures of the rukun. But no sooner he made salam, that sickness returned back to him. That he couldn't even stand, they had to lift him up, taking to the back and make him rest against the wall. As time went on, it's like brothers, he has to come and sit behind the imam, stand behind the imam. Then as time went on, sitting behind the imam. And as time went on, when his sickness deteriorated, then he used to sit at one corner of the masjid in the first half while lying down and performing salah. So imagine, look at the istiqamah. When he came to salah, whatever condition, they did not leave it out. So respected brothers, few things also to mention, that from the Jummah Bayan we mentioned, what is the reward for istiqamah? One of these, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, such fitnas will come upon the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. At that time, when person who practices upon deen was like burning, holding a burning charcoal. And another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that those who stick to their amal, who remain steadfast on deen and practice on their deen, they will get the reward of 50 people. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked, Ya Rasulullah, ajru khamsina minna wa minhu aw minhum. Are they going to get the sawab of 50 people of us? That means the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Or among them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La, walakin ajru khamsina minkum. You will get the sawab of 50 people of you, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Obviously we will not, person doesn't become a Sahabi. What it means, you will get the reward as like the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that a person who holds on to the sunnah, and who steadfast on being in these times, and trying times, it's like a person who made hijrah towards me. Like the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, like the brothers. They have forsaken everything. They did their children, their families, their businesses. Everything for the sake of deen. And they made hijrah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the person will get the same reward. The du'as that we need to recite, respected brothers. Two du'as we need to recite. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِكْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. This is much explanation, but we will stop over there. That read the du'a. This is a proven prescription for a person to die with iman, inshallah. To remain steadfast on deen and to die with iman. Because steadfast on deen and dying with iman are interlinked. They complement each other. So by us reading this du'a, inshallah, for the barakat of the du'a, a person remains steadfast on deen, inshallah. Secondly, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum Bi Rahmatika Astaghith. It is the rahmat of Allah that we seek help. Yeah, the ulama mentioned rahmat, yeah, the meme in وَمَا أُبَرِّي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُوءٍ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. The meme. It means the rahmat of Allah when it comes to occasions. Example, the 15th of Shaban, Laylatul Qadr, the Yom al-Jumu'ah, after Eid Farah Salah, the time of Tahajjud. It means the places of rahmah. Haramain Sharifin, Baytul Muqaddas, in the Masjid. It means when the actions of rahmah, of tilawah of the Quran al-Kareem, salah, making miswaq, the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so Allah grant us the tawfiq of reciting these du'as, inshallah, also together to make miswaq, to reply to the azan, to be in the company of the pious people, reading this du'a also, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Bi Rahmatika Astaghith. All these are proven formulas for a person, inshallah, to remain steadfast on deen and to die in iman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lastly will conclude, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, يَحْمِنُ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ مِنْ كُلِّ خَلَفٍ أُدُولُهُ يَنْفُونَ عَنْهُ تَحْرِيفَ الْغَالِينَ وَانْتِهَالَ الْمُبْتِلِينَ وَتَأْوِيلَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Or كما قال Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that this sacred knowledge which Allah has given us, it will be preserved, it will be protected by those reliable authorities. In other words, the ulama, the fuqaha, the muhaddithin, these are reliable authorities. Of each successive generation, every generation, every era, Allah Ta'ala will appoint such people. And what will be their duty? They will dispel the alterations and the changes of the extremists. Those people who are extreme and want to make tahreef of the Quran or the sunnah or the hadith of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they will come to the fore. They will stop it. And these will, they will also, the unjustified assumptions of the people of falsehood and the flawed interpretations of the people of ignorance. So these people will come to the fore. At every era, this is a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah sallallahu appoints such people, the ulama, the fuqaha, the muhaddithin, our akabirin. And one statement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are the ghuraba? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, who are these ghuraba? They are qaleel, they are few people. And these are people, الَّذِينَ يُسْلِحُونَ مَا أَفْسَدَ النَّاسُ مِنْ سُنَّتِهِ. those who corrupt my sunnah after my demise. People they corrupt the teachings of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give misinterpretations, mislead the people. So such people, they are the ghuraba. They will rectify. They will show us the sunnah tariqah. They will show us the, from the teachings of hadith and Quran. That is why it is important, respected brothers, we wear the glasses or the spectacles of Sharia. And through the two lenses of Quran and hadith, we will view everything. And this will come about if you stay in the company of such people. Unfortunately, today, people want to make comments regarding certain Quran al-Kareem, regarding homosexuality, signing documents, 200 people putting the signatures to it. Do they know what they are doing? Are they signing the certificate of kufr? Are they signing the certificate of entrance into Jahannam? They should make the serious tawbah, renew their iman. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, respected brothers, mentioned, which earth is going to hold me? Which sky is going to seal me? If I have to say those things which are wrong, which are contrary to the teachings of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those people, they are not entitled to make any comments regarding Quran, the teachings of the Quran, and the sunnah, and the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, respected brothers. Much could have been said, but time is already up. I want your du'as, I don't want your bad du'as. And nevertheless, so we make du'a, Allah grant me, grant of all of us istiqamat inshallah, istiqamat of deen, istiqamat of sunnah, istiqamat of following our elders, our akabirin. Make qadr of our ulama, make qadr of those people that we have with us. Recently, Mala Musa Kaji came to me in Marisburg, and he told me that he observed Mufti Ibrahim Salihi Sahib, the Dan Barakatu, that he, and Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sa'adun Puri Rahmatullahi, they're very, very similar in their nature and istiqamah. We look at Maulana Shabir Saludi Sahib, Dan Barakatu of Darun Zakaria. In the days gone by, he used to go very often. Now he's still going as well with Maulana Harun Abbas Umar Sahib and my uncle Hadi Idris, who Mahum Rahmatullahi. So my uncle used to come and tell me that they can't cope up with Malana, Mana Shabisa. The amount of umrahs he does, the amount of tawaf he does, this is a ruhani tafat. Every day he reads 5 paras of the Quran al-Kareem. Our Shaykh Mahad Amir Sahib, pavan on the sunnah, pavan on fasting, nafal fasting, sunnah fasting. On occasion, while we're in Durban, lazy chaps like us, we look for concession, you know. So we are musafir, so the azan was given. So the imam went forward. So all of us formed our staff. So Malana came from behind. He said, what about your sunnah? We are musafir. So he said, yeah, Shaykh Nazar, maaf man. Now we started reading our sunnah. Allah forgive us. But these are the examples that we got before us. Let us make qadr of such people. Allah reward Malana for having this jalsa. And what a beautiful topic. Allah grant all of us ikhlas. Allah accept from all of us. And those who are students of deen, Allah grant all istiqamah as well. And Allah grant us istiqamah till our final breath, inshallah. That we leave this world with iman, inshallah. Am in tere ya ke we tere hai. Waham dekhne ke kis tere hai. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanallah, bihamdihi, nashhadu an la ilaha illallah, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim, wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Alhamdulillahi alladhi bi ni'matihi tatimmu as-salihat. Ma syaa Allah la quwwata illa billah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun 'alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin. Allahumma shalli 'ala Muhammadin nabiyyi wa azwajihi ummahatil mu'minin, وذريتي وأهل بيتي كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.